Genesis in chapter number 3. And a couple of years ago, my wife and I, we moved to Lexington, Kentucky, and Brother Fugit is our pastor. And he called me in the office one day, and he said, "Now, Brother Dallas," he said, "I know that you're extremely busy as far as your travels and evangelism." He said, "I'm not going to add anything to your plate." He said, you can continue to do that and stay busy, or you can be busy in the local church ministry here." And I believe in the local church, and I'm a local church evangelist. And so we have the addictions outreach there on Friday night. And we don't put any kind of focus on the addiction itself. We put all the focus on our walk with God, because if our walk with God is what it should be, our lives will be what it should be as well. So, and we'll tell a little bit more about that maybe in the morning service or tonight. But then also the Lord's allowed us to be able to try our best to be able to influence the next generation of the young people that are going through the Bible college there in Lexington. And when we agreed to teach in the Bible college, Brother Dorgson called me and he said, "Brother Dallas," he said, "so the preacher emailed me and said that he wanted to kind of make up a class for you. And he said, we'd like for you to teach a class on walking with God." And he said, just kind of maybe an overflow of just your personal walk with the Lord. And so we started that last year, and we're going in this year as well, teaching that class. And that's kind of the subject that I like to teach on today in the Sunday school hour. And so if you have your Bibles, Genesis chapter number 3, I'm just going to read a couple of verses here this morning in verse number 8. Genesis in chapter number 3 in verse number 8. The Bible says, "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him," and I want us to look at these next three words, this question that God asked Adam. And may we be reminded that it wasn't that God did not know the answer. God knew the answer. He just wanted to make sure Adam knew the answer. And God asked Adam, he said, "Where art thou?" And I believe with all my heart this morning that the same God of heaven is asking sinful man the same question 6,000 years later. Where art thou? He's asking his children this morning, "Where art thou? Where art thou when it comes to reading my book? Where art thou when it comes to having a sincere prayer life? Where art thou when it comes to dying to the flesh and being led by the Spirit? Where art thou when it comes to being more concerned about holiness than happiness?" And can I say, if you and I, as God's children, are striving for holiness, we're going to be the most happy people in the world anyhow. Where art thou? Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. Lord, I count it a great privilege, I count it a great honor to be able to stand behind the pulpit of one that I've been looking, Lord, up to, Lord, these many years, Lord, and have known the name of Brother Ross. And dear God, I've counted a great privilege, Lord, to not only have got to meet him, but Lord, to be able to stand behind his pulpit and fellowship with him this week. And Lord, I'm not belittling, Lord, the time that you've given me with him, Lord, these last couple of days. But dear God, it doesn't even compare, Lord, to the time that I got to spend with you this morning. It doesn't even compare, Lord, to even being able to open up, Lord, your love letter, Lord, not only to me, but to others that you've given, Lord, called the Bible. And so, Lord, I pray, Lord, for these next few minutes, dear God, that, Lord, not only would you allow the good hand of God, Lord, to be upon me, but, Lord, also this lesson here today. Lord, I pray, Lord, that I could help the dear folks in this Sunday school hour this morning. And Lord, we'll give you all the honor and glory for what you do. In your precious name I pray. Amen. Very bottom of the shelf, very elementary. As a matter of fact, when we leave Sunday school here in a little while, maybe somebody's going to say, "I didn't know I was going to vacation Bible school today." But I believe every now and then we just need to be reminded, amen, of this thing of walking with God. Now, we understand this morning, contrary to secular teaching, that you and I were not evolved from a monkey, amen, but we were created in the image and the likeness of an almighty God. And God created man, and that man's name, that first man that God created, was Adam. And God gave Adam a commandment. He said, you can partake of everything in the garden except for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And we understand that God caused a deep sleep to come upon Adam, and he took a rib out of Adam. He made a woman, and now Adam has a companion. Her name is Eve. So now we see the creation of man. We see the commandment to man. We see the companion for man. And then in Genesis chapter number 3, you'll find the serpent, which is a picture of Satan, begins to question, and he begins to deny the word of God. And begins to say, yea, hath God said, and he comes to Eve, and he says, yea, hath God said, and Eve said, well, we can partake of everything in the garden except for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because the day that we eat us thereof, we shall surely die. And the serpent said, well, you're not going to die, but you'll see yourself as gods. And the Bible says that Eve partook of the fruit, and she did give to her husband, and he did eat. Let me just stop right there. I know that it's not an original statement by Brother Dallas, but we've all heard it before. But I feel like we need to say it once again today, that any man or movement that ever questions or denies this King James Bible, it's always satanically motivated to begin with. And we understand that that Eve partook of the fruit, and she did give to her husband, and he did eat. And God gave Adam the commandment. So now we see the compromise of man. And when Adam partook of that fruit, we understand that God kept up with his end of the deal, and the condemnation fell upon Adam. The penalty for his sin was death in that place called hell. We understand that that penalty not only affected Adam, but it affected every man, woman, boy, and girl from that day to this day. All of us are sinners here today because of that man's sin. Tonight we'll give our salvation testimony. And yes, I was a full-blown drug addict from the time I was 14 to the time I was 22 years old. And yes, that was sin in the eyes of God, but God saw me as a sinner far before I ever took the first thing of this world. I was a sinner from the very moment I was born, amen, and you was as well. So now we see the creation of man, we see the commandment to man, we see the companion for man, we see the compromise of man, we see the condemnation that fell upon man, but I'm glad that I kept reading the book, amen, and I see the compassion of an almighty God. My Bible says, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, amen. I'm glad for the compassion of an almighty God. We understand there was broken fellowship between God and man when Adam partook of that fruit. But thank God that fellowship was restored through the redemptive blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And before Adam committed that sin, God came in the garden, and he walked and talked along life's narrow way with his creation. After Adam committed that sin, God still came to the garden to walk and to talk along life's narrow way with his creation. The Bible says that Adam and Eve, they hid themselves from the presence of God. And then you've heard it said before, they try to turn over a new leaf. God asked them that question. He said, where art thou? We understand this morning the Bible says in Revelation chapter 4, verse number 11, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. Thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they were created. And we understand the only reason that God ever created Adam, the only reason that God ever created man, was to have a people to bring unto himself for his pleasure and to have fellowship with him. And the same God that provided a way for man to escape the eternal flames of hell, and the same God that allows our heart to beat and our brain to function, and the same God that created all 7.5 billion folks that live on planet Earth today, is the same God of heaven that not only wanted to walk and talk with his creation, Adam, but he wants to walk and talk with us as well today. When I'm talking about walking with God, you understand, that demonstrates a furtherance, walking forward. Not standing still, not going backwards, but going forward for God. Kind of like the old songwriter wrote, the world is behind me, the cross is before me, and I have decided to follow Jesus. I say this in our addictions outreach, and I have a lesson on, it's entitled The Fury of the Struggle Within, and how there's a constant battle between the flesh and between the Spirit of God that lives inside of us every single day. And too many times we make this thing of walking with God some great mystery. Can I say it's not some great mystery? How do you and I walk with God in today's society? I'll tell us how. By reading that Bible every day. By praying every day. By dying to the flesh and being led by the Spirit. By being faithful to the house of God. By witnessing to others and telling them what Jesus has done for us. That's how you and I walk with God. And I told them those in the addictions outreach, and I'll even say it today, can we all be reminded we're all made of the same thing, amen? And I said, you mark it down. If Chris Dallas were to lay down his Bible for 30 days, if Chris Dallas were not to access the throne of grace for 30 days, if Chris Dallas were not to darken the door of a church house for 30 days, I said, Chris Dallas is capable of committing the most heinous crime of the one that sits in the Kentucky State Prison today. Because, child of God, you mark it down. The day you and I take off from walking with God, mark it down. The world, the flesh, and the devil do not take a day off in bringing temptation in our lives. And, child of God, just like you and I need a physical bath every single day of our life, we need a spiritual bath every single day of our life where we come in contact with the washing of the water by the Word. Turn your Bibles to Joshua chapter 24 this morning. Joshua 24. Most of us in this class probably could quote this verse. We see this verse in a picture frame in houses. We see it on a rock in flower gardens. But I want us to see it this morning. I want you to look at Joshua chapter 24. Look at verse number 15. The Bible says, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day, look at it, whom ye will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Class, did you see that in that verse? It said, whom ye will serve. Not if you will serve, but whom you will serve. Because you and I will serve someone. We will either serve God or we will serve the world, the flesh, or the devil. And we will not serve someone and we will not follow someone that we know nothing about and that we're not walking with. I was preaching in West Virginia some time ago, and I was talking to the pastor that I was preaching for about the subject of walking with God, and tears began to stream down his face. He'd been pastoring that church for over 20 years. And he said, Brother Dallas, he said, I believe there's times that I stand up behind my pulpit and I'm preaching to a people that about a God that they don't even know and from a book that they never read. Turn your Bibles to Psalm chapter 12. Just laying a foundation. Look at Psalm chapter number 12. I brought the truth out in the youth rally yesterday. Look at Psalm chapter 12. Look at verse number 1. David said, help, Lord. It would do us good just to utter those two words every now and then, wouldn't it? Help, Lord. Then look what he goes on to say. For the godly man ceaseth. How do you and I become godly in this wicked world? We become godly by walking with God. Amen. By spending time in that book, spending time in prayer, dying to the flesh, being led by the Spirit. But he says, for the godly man ceaseth. Then he goes on to say, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. Can I say this morning, child of God, you say, Brother Dallas, I love Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I love Pastor Ross. I love the ministry surrounding this church. Can I say, my friend, you may love this place with all your heart, all your soul, all your might, but if godliness ceases in our life, you may not find yourself here this time next year, amen. Can we be reminded of the storms of life will come and the trials of life will come, and I believe a child of God can live off the excitement of the Christian life for a little while, but when trials come and storms of life come, excitement's not going to get us through, but I tell you what will get us through the storms of life and the troubles of life, it's that sincere dedicated walk with God every single day. Amen. And for the next few minutes, I want to teach on that subject, or perhaps preach just a little bit. Amen. On the importance of walking with God. The importance of walking with God. Can I say, first of all, it's a reverent time that we get to walk with God. That word reverent means feeling or showing deep and solemn respect. Let's just take us men in the room this morning. Can I say, whether you're for them or whether you voted for them or whatever the case may be, I believe we should still respect the position of the President of the United States. Let's take us men here this morning. If President Trump were to have somebody from the White House to call one of us men and wanted to set up a meeting with us at the White House later on this week, we would probably shine our shoes. We'd iron our shirt. We'd comb our hair. We'd brush our teeth. We'd dab a little cologne on. We'd be 15 minutes early for that meeting. And we would make sure that nothing or no one would interfere with our meeting with the President of the United States. Can I say this morning, as much as I love and respect the President and I pray for the President, can we be reminded there is one that has done far more for us than President Donald Trump, that wants to set up a meeting with us today and tomorrow and as long as life is in our breath. And child of God, the God of all heaven and earth wants to walk with us and talk with us along life's narrow way. I'm talking about the one that created man in his image and likeness, is the one that said, come boldly to the throne of grace. I'm talking about the same God, the Bible says in the Old Testament, that the tabernacle could not even contain all of his glory, is the same God that wants to meet with us in a prayer closet, and the same God that heard the prayer and answered the prayer of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, is the same God that will hear and answer our prayer as well, and the same God that brought down the walls of Jericho and part of the Red Sea said, cast your care upon me, for I care for you. And the same God that brought Joseph out of prison and made his dreams reality is the same God that brought us up out of a horrible pit and out of the miry clay, set our feet upon a rock, and established our goings. And the same God that said, let not your heart be troubled, is the same God that said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. And child of God, as important as God is, and as much as God has done for each and every one of us this morning, let's not tell him how much we love him. And let's not tell God how much we adore him if we're not willing to walk with him. And he has set a place for us at his table. And we don't even have enough decency to show up and commune with God just a little while. Can we all be reminded this morning, the reason we woke up in a bed with a pillow under our head is because of the grace and the mercy of an almighty God? And the reason we were able to get out of that bed and have the capability to walk into a restroom and get in a shower with running water was because of the grace and the mercy of an almighty God? And the reason we were able to go to a closet and put clothes on our back and shoes on our feet was because of the grace and the mercy of an almighty God. And the reason we were able to go into the kitchen and open up a refrigerator and pull food out and put on a stove and cook it, sit at a table, was because of the grace and the mercy of an almighty God. And the reason we were able to get in a vehicle and come to the house of God, and there wasn't armed guards out there preventing us from coming to the house of God, is because of the grace and the mercy of an almighty God. And my friend, our God of heaven has not taken his mind off of us for one second. And yet, the only time maybe somebody here today has opened their Bible is when we said, turn it to the book of Genesis. My, what a reverent time it is to get to walk with the God of heaven. Second of all, turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter number 5. Not only is it a reverent time, but second of all, it's a redeeming time. It's a redeeming time. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. Look at verse number 14. The Bible says, "Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly." That word circumspectly means to look around cautiously. It means to avoid mistakes and bad consequences. "Not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." I'm sure everyone in this room this morning that's saved by the grace of God, you'd say, "I'd like to have the filling of God's Spirit upon my life." But can we be reminded, Galatians chapter 2, verse number 20, where Paul said, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Can we be reminded, Galatians 2, 20 comes before Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 18. And my friend, there has to be a fatality of self before there can be a filling of the Spirit of God. Amen. Second of all, it's a redeeming time. You understand, last year's time and last year's opportunities, they're gone. Once they're gone, they cannot be brought back. Last week's time and last week's opportunities, they're gone. It cannot be replaced once it's gone. But you and I can redeem the time in our walk with God. Say, "Brother Dallas, what is the word redeeming?" Well, the word redeem there means to buy back in advance. "But Dallas, how can I buy back in advance my walk with God?" I'll tell you how. By schedule, by discipline, by dedication. And no matter how spiritual any of us think we are, if we do not discipline ourselves and we do not schedule to walk with God, you will not walk with God. Every night that I go to bed, including last night, I set an alarm clock. And if the Lord Jesus Christ tarries his coming and allows that alarm clock to go off the next morning, that alarm clock does not signify for me to check the bank account. Doesn't signify for me to check the emails. It doesn't signify for me to check the social media status. That alarm going off that next morning just tells me, as God's creation, that I get to walk one more day with my Creator. Child of God, walking with God is work. It does take effort and it does take discipline. And I'm not against a person having a devotion book, but can we be reminded a 30 or 45 second devotion and you're done is not going to make you a spirit-filled child of God. But setting some significant alone time with God in this book and on our knees and getting involved in what God wants to do in our lives will do more for us than what we even realize. Right now, determine sometime in your daily schedule that you're going to schedule and determine to walk with God, and you're not going to let anything or anyone interfere with that alone time with God. I have to live by schedule. If I don't live by schedule, I will not get anything done. And just like I would not let any man touch or harm my wife, I must be determined not to let anyone touch my schedule, especially my scheduled time alone to walk with God. My preacher often makes this statement: schedule oftentimes seems boring, but the victory and success that comes from it is very enjoyable. You'd be surprised what 20 minutes in that book and 10 minutes on your knees would do for you, your family, and your marriage, redeeming the time in our walk with God. Not only is it a reverent time, not only is it a redeeming time, but number three, it's a rewarding time. It's a rewarding time. The Bible says, you know it, Psalm 1, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not sober, like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success."
child of God, you and I are as close to God as we want to be close to God. The Bible says, draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. Amen. My wife and I, we moved to Lexington from Oklahoma. It'll be 2 years in March. We didn't have a home yet there in Lexington. We lived in a little staff house that our church owned for about 6 weeks until we finally closed on our home. And in that house that we lived in when we first moved to Lexington, the bedroom was down in the basement, and the living room and all that was upstairs. And I had a chair at that time that I'd always sit in when I'd read my Bible at home, and I was at home that day. And I've always been an earlier riser than my wife, and it's just our makeup. And I got up early that morning and grabbed my Bible, walked upstairs, and I sat in the chair that I always sit in. And we were in the process of closing on our first home the Lord's allowed us to buy. And I was sitting there reading my Bible and praying for about an hour, hour and a half. And about an hour and a half later, my wife walked up the stairs, and she walked right past me in the chair I was sitting in. She had her Bible in her hand, and she sat there across from me in her chair that she always sits in. And as we were in the process of closing on the first home that God would allow us to have, I began to think about something. That it takes physical work to buy a house, but it takes spiritual work to have a home. Maybe, just maybe this morning, there's somebody in the sound of my voice. It's foreign language to you when the preacher tells you that you can have a little bit of heaven on earth in your home, and you have the other in your home. Let me tell you why. It could very well be because you've taken God off his throne, sir, and put yourself on the throne. And man, you've taken God off his throne and put yourself on the throne. And when you're on your throne, sir, and you're on your throne, ma'am, you're going to fight and contend and just have just total chaos in the home. But if we'll take ourselves off the throne and put God back on his throne, the God of all peace and all joy and all love allow us to be able to have a little bit of heaven on earth. Not only is it a reverent time, not only is it a redeeming time, not only is it a rewarding time, but lastly, walking with God is a repeated time, a repeated time. Walking with God is never a finished work. We never reach some elevated plane where we never need God to work anymore in our lives. We sing it to the young people, perhaps on the bus routes, but maybe every now and then we need to sing it to ourselves. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. I would sing it for you, but my voice is hurting just a little bit today, amen. People ask me all the time at my CD table, are any of these singing CDs? I said, no. I said, if I were to sing, I promise you, it would be a special, amen. But it took him just a week to make the moon, the stars, the sun, the earth, and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be, because he's still working on me. I was preaching in Houston, Texas some time ago, and I was on the docket with a bunch of other preachers. There was a preacher by the name of Evangelist Dan Metter that got up to preach one night. Made a very bottom-of-the-shelf, very elementary statement, but also a very profound statement as well. He said, church, he said, I've been saved now for 50 years. Been preaching the Word of God for 35. He said, you know how I've been able to be faithful to God these last 50 years as a Christian and these last 35 years as a preacher? He said, it's not because I'm a great pulpiteer. He said, it's not because I've got a magnificent prayer life. He said, it's not because I've got an S stamped on my chest that means super Christian. He said, the reason I've been able to be faithful to God these last 50 years as a Christian and these last 35 years as a preacher is because of three reasons. He said, first of all, he said, I learned a long time ago to read that Bible every day. Second of all, he said, I learned what it was to pray every day. And third of all, he said, I learned what it was to be in church every time I was supposed to be in church. Can I say this morning, if every single one of us in this room could get a hold of those three principles, just to walk with God daily, not only could this community experience revival, but our own homes and families would be able to experience revival to walk with God. Can we also be reminded there's a danger to inconsistency? Just ask King David. King David was the warrior king. King David should have been leading his troops into battle. But David tarried still in Jerusalem, the Bible says. And as a result of David's inconsistency, he committed a sin that forever altered his life and the lives of all others around him. Not only, I said that was the last one, but I forgot, I wrote another one down right here. Not only is it a reverent time, not only is it a redeeming time, not only is it a rewarding time and a repeated time, but lastly, number five, when we walk with God, it's a resulted time. You understand? Having revival, and I preach in revivals every week of my life, and I understand that souls being saved, that's a byproduct of revival. Can I tell you, us being the soul winner that would bring honor and glory to God, when Jesus was calling out his disciples, he said, "Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men." And church, you understand, I want to be on board with the thing that is nearest and dearest to God's heart, and that is telling a lost and dying world about the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's no way that you and I can follow God if we're not walking with him. Mark it down. Your witness for God will always be a reflection of your walk with God. It's a great blessing to be able to walk with him. It's a great blessing, Lord, just to be able to access the throne of grace. I'm glad I don't have to go to a confessional booth and confess my sin to another sinner like me. I'm glad that I can access the throne of grace, and I'm glad that there's that mediator. All the Lord Jesus Christ goes on my behalf to the Father in heaven. Amen. Child of God, he's given us that love letter called the Bible right there. And I want to read it. I want to study it. I want to meditate on it. There's no doubt in my mind every time I've heard your man of God preach, he's fed my soul. I love my preacher. I love to hear him preach. Every Sunday afternoon, I always, during my time between church, I always go back and hear what my preacher preached on Sunday morning. And after I get out of church on Sunday night, I go back and hear him what he preached on Sunday night. I love my preacher. He feeds my soul. But I'm glad that I don't just have to live off of what my preacher gives me on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday. Tonight, can I say I have fallen in love with that book right there, and God has something specifically for me each and every day, just like he does you as well. Amen. You know, over there, where's it at? Over in some Thessalonians, or somewhere in Acts, I believe it was, it says they searched the scriptures daily, walking with God. Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. Lord, we sure do thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you for saving us. God, I pray, Lord, that we were a help in the Sunday school hour. I pray, Lord, you bless the service to come, and we'll give you all the honor and glory for what you do. In your name I pray. Amen. Thank you.